You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Welcome to Women of a Certain Age podcast, where we discuss life for the mature woman. I am your host, Daheem Gordon, and I am going to highlight various women in different stages of life. Many may ask what the mature woman is, and the mature woman is could be Generation X and above, usually between the ages of 38 to 53. However, there may be some differences there. There's a lot of things that happened once you reach that 40 point, and I would like for us to discuss those things that happen in our life, the changes, everything. And today I have my good friend Kimberly Williamson here. And Kimberly lives and works in Detroit. She's an entrepreneur. She owns the company Simply Well, and she's a real estate developer. She has a bachelor's degree in social work and a master's in clinical psychology. So thank you for joining me, Kimberly.
You're welcome.
How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
Good, good. Now, for some of those that may not know, what exactly, we'll start first with Simply Well. What is Simply Well?
Well, Simply Well is a, like you said, a real estate development company, but it's got a little bit of a twist to it. We are about bringing health and wellness to the community. So we look at the intersection of nature, access to healthy food, architecture, community and physical activity. And so we are about developing spaces that encourage all of that, kind of in a natural way, though. So we're not forcing it. It's just by virtue of being there, you're going to be involved in those things.
Okay. And the people that are interested in your company, would they be, is there a specific, or do they have to all be vegan? Do they have to be vegetarian?
No. No. I think the thing with wellness is that it's very individual, and you have to do those things that work for you. I think one of the things that we're careful is that we don't want to kind of have a cookie cutter model, like this is, you know, I'm vegan, you need to be vegan, you know. Just, you know, they're general health principles that come across for anybody, you know, but there's no prescription like that. This is just living within a community that encourages movement, that offers things that around cooking and, you know, health. So you kind of glean what works for you. And so, yeah.
Okay. And we'll go back to that. But what exactly is a real estate developer?
Well, for me, I mean, real estate development is a pretty simple. You just do something with real estate. You buy, you can renovate, you can build new construction. Mm-hmm. So there's a whole lot of things that can come under that mm-hmm. that people specialize in. But for myself, just being, you know, a small real estate developer, I look at small spaces, and I've done several like historic home rehabs, and now we're looking to do some new construction. So yeah, that's pretty much it.
Okay, good. Now, how would you say, if at all, do the two tie in together?
The two as in my...
As the Simply Well and the developing.
Yes, Simply Well is about developing spaces that look at how we can enhance health and wellness in the built community. So with real estate. So what we do with real estate, because the way our real estate is designed today, we have less movement. Like, for instance, we use elevators. We use escalators as opposed to stairs. And so usually stairs are like tucked in the back. They're not very attractive. So you're not really encouraged visually to, you know, utilize them. Whereas if they were a central stage and they were beautiful, you would find yourself, research shows people will use them. So that's kind of a quick example of how the spaces work.
Okay. And how would you say the mature woman, when it comes to movement, how important is that?
Oh, it's crucial. I think as women age, and I can only speak for myself, you need to move more because our metabolism slows down, our hormones change. So it's just vital. And it's just, there's that point of just accepting that's the reality. Mm-hmm. In talking with my doctor, he was just like the average weight gain for a woman who's going through menopause or, you know, on the other side is 30 to 40 pounds, which is a lot of weight.
Yes, it is.
So, which can be detrimental in a number of ways to your health. And so it's just the reality that you have to be physically active. And as well as, you know, what are you eating? Yeah, it's just, and it's hard. I mean, because when you're young, I mean, at least when I was young, I could eat whatever I wanted and I didn't have to exercise. But, you know, things change. You age.
Definitely, definitely. I think now the, I'm sure I'll find a better name, but the mature woman, there's so many changes that we have, whether that's in our body, in our mindset,
sure.
just in general. So if you have someone that, it reaches that it, you know, they start at 38 and you start realizing or thinking about your own mortality.
Sure.
I know when I was in my teens or my 20s, I wasn't thinking about, you start thinking about legacy, what's going to be mm-hmm. different. Back then, I probably wasn't thinking about it as much as I am now.
Mm-hmm.
How would you say that, because it sounds like Simply Well could be something that will carry on for, you know, lifetimes to come. How would you say that that would make a difference? And because I'm assuming it is for everybody, but sure. how would it appeal to the mature woman?
I think some of our programming would be specifically targeted towards women. That's a given. That's a for sure thing that we're going to do. And so looking at different aspects of wellness. So let's say we talk about finances, like we get someone into, you know, teach a class on, you know, financial options that are out there for people planning for later in life. Things that you really are forced to think about, probably should have been thinking about before to some degree. You know, I already mentioned like eating and just health, like, you know, what are hormones about? I mean, when I was younger, hormones were just related to fertility. Mm-hmm. But they have a whole bigger job than that.
Right.
And so just different, what we would call like psychoeducational programs mm-hmm. to kind of help people become informed, women particularly, around what is this stage of life about.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Okay. One of the things also that I would highlight, or I am going to highlight, would be the physical, the financial, the spiritual, and relationship. So we talked a little bit about the physical.
Mm-hmm.
How would you say that as a woman of a certain age or over a certain age, how would you say your mindset is different? And we can cover each point, but how would you say that your mind is different? So you covered the food part of mm-hmm. how you ate then and how you eat now. How would you say from the financial standpoint that?
How I handle money?
It, right.
mm-hmm. I think you just, maybe some people are like this. I think my husband's probably always been like this since he was born. He's always been very thrifty and very conscientious and responsible
smart
with money.
With his, yeah.
Yes. I think for me, the way I grew up, it was just kind of spend it. You get it, spend it, you know. I think now when you think about you're going to live, how are you going to live? What kind of lifestyle do you want to have? Also, like, what kind of things do you want to contribute to in our society? So you have to think a little bit different. I think you have I have a more of a respect for money.
Mm-hmm.
I don't chase money, but I think just a more responsible attitude towards it. It is a tool. Mm-hmm. It is a very useful tool in our society. And so, yeah, it's not a bad thing.
Definitely. And it's definitely needed.
Mm-hmm.
I think it comes to whether or not, you know, some people worship money and that's their focus as opposed mm-hmm. to, like you said, it's a tool.
Sure.
You have, because you are my dear friend, we've known each other for many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
You have always been that person that thinks in terms of, in my opinion, thinks in terms of if it's something that you want to do, it needs to be done. You do it.
Yes.
I think we become more hesitant the older we get because we don't have that like, you know, when you were as a child, you would do something, you, whatever it is, how crazy it is, you may jump out and do it. Whereas now we become more reserved. We start thinking in terms of, I can't do that, or how would you say, and that's not how you think, I'm just saying that's how many think, how would you say that people, once we get that certain age, and let's say we decide that I want to do something, but there's hesitation, there's kind of like, I have that age thing going on, because whether it's ages and whether it's, you know, once you get a certain age, there are things that come up that you wouldn't necessarily face when you were younger. Would you agree or not?
Well, I think for myself, I probably was more fearful when I was younger, actually.
Really?
Because I think I was more insecure. And now I don't have a lot of that baggage. And so I would say if you're making life decisions, or business decisions, you need to do your adequate research. So I'm not saying be reckless, but don't be fearful. You know, I think fear is just, it's so heavy and you can't do anything. I mean, nothing is good enough. I mean, nothing is ever going to be perfect. And so I would say if I had to couch it as a fear, my biggest fear is looking back on my life with regret of things that I didn't do that I really felt in my heart to do. Mm. And so that's what what I try to do is project myself in the future. And is this something that, I'm going to regret, you know, because I was afraid. So I wouldn't say I'm not a reckless person, but I am not a fearful person. And so, so I think I've learned more. I'm wiser. So I feel more comfortable in making decisions and taking, you know, measured risk. But when I was younger, you just kind of don't know what you're doing. Now I have good people in my life that I can go to and I'm comfortable going to, saying, hey, I don't know how to do this. This is what I'm thinking. What is your feedback? And I'm not embarrassed by that. I think when I was younger, and I was the oldest child, so I kind of had this thing that I had to know everything. And now I'm okay saying I actually don't know, but I can find out. So, so I think it's been a little bit of a different path for me in that regard.
Okay. So something that you said, let's go back on that, the word reckless, because I think that can be subjective depending on who. What would you say, and what would you think would be considered reckless then? So would you say, okay, someone decides that they are going to quit their job and they are going to follow their dream. That dream could be anything. What do you mean when you say reckless? What do you mean?
Well, I think that varies given the situation. If I have children who are depending on me and I up and quit my job with no means to provide for them, I think that's reckless and I think that's not right. Okay. So if I'm a single person and I can still make my ends meet and I decide to quit a job, you know, to pursue something else that's going to be, you know, provide for my needs, then I don't think that's reckless. And so I think it's one, when we take risk, we have to, one, look at our responsibilities. Who are we responsible for? We are not islands unto ourselves, generally. However, a lot of times our own, the things that stop us are really kind of invented in our mind. So I don't think anybody can pay me enough to be on a job where I'm miserable all day. I think there's just got to be a different way. There may be another job, you know, it might be another different culture that I need to work within, a different company, or, you know, I work for myself. So there's options. I think the thing that I realize, and I always try to stress to people, is you have options and you have choices, and, you know, and you can make the choices you want, you know. So, but, you know, you owe it to yourself to be responsible with those choices. But if you don't, because consequences come. So you don't get to choose your consequences, you know. So, so I don't think it's reckless necessarily when people make those kind of choices. But I think they need to do their adequate research. Right. I think when people it's one thing to want to do something that you've kind of really looked into. You've talked to people. You've done some adequate research and you kind of know what are some of the risks involved, mm-hmm. and then how you can manage some of those risks. Mm-hmm. It's another thing just to up and do something spontaneous and you have not looked into it at all, you mm-hmm. know, so which is fine. If
right,
you live by
in
your,
some cases, if yourself, that works for some people.
Yeah. If you feel like in your gut, that's going to work. And if you don't, you crash and burn, you get up and you do something else. So, yeah, that's kind of my view on that.
Okay. So of course, you know, I am one of those people that have to look at everything mm-hmm. and evaluate. And sometimes I may think that it's my idea may be reckless, or it's one of those thoughts, because I'll start when you were speaking about fear. Mm-hmm. I have those moments where I'll talk myself out of something. Mm-hmm. Case in point, the podcast. Mm-hmm. And then I'll have a conversation with you. How important do you think it is for women of all ages? But I think as we get older, it just seems like we're supposed to have it all together. And that's not always the case. How do you think that we get out of that?
Well, when you say have it all together, are you talking about?
Just in general. I mean, if I look back and I over the course, and I'll get more into that as I continue podcasting, but look over the course, you know, you get a certain age and you're supposed to have it all figured out. You're supposed to have, whether that's because everybody doesn't want the white picket fence, but whether that means mm-hmm. the white picket fence, the house, you have the career, you have this. And then for me, when I turned 40, I felt like this wasn't enough. I was at a job where it wasn't fulfilling. Mm-hmm. I wasn't, and I knew that I wanted to travel. I enjoyed traveling.
Sure.
And it wasn't until I visited, Chicago with a friend. We went to a YouTube concert mm-hmm. and, I came back to work and I was just miserable. And I remember we were having the conversation where you were saying, well, you have to make a decision.
Sure.
You know, you will continue to be there or you have to leave and do, which at that time was traveling, do something more fulfilling. Mm-hmm. How important do you think it is to have those friends to bounce those type of ideas? Because we become a certain age and it's almost like you meet certain people and they don't have those friends. They don't have those confidants or people that they can talk to.
Yeah. Well, I think it's good for all of us to have a good, honest friends that are, you know, we know and they know us and who are not afraid to tell us the truth, or at least the truth as they see it and what they think. So that's crucial, because we live in a very individualistic society, but I don't think anything really gets done well just as an individual. Mm-hmm. I think we need connection. I think people are made for connection and relationships. And so, yeah. And if everybody you know is exactly like you, if that, which is not true, but, you know, in kind of like in a general way, you all have the same experiences. You have the same interest. Mm-hmm. I don't think that stretches you very much at all. And I think one of the things that women of a particular age, which is kind of a funny term to me, but
right.
yeah, have to, anybody, not just women, but is to commit to being a lifelong student, right? Continue to learn, continue to enhance your understanding of life and things in general, things that might interest you. Mm-hmm. You might try something and, you know, you thought it was going to be great and it wasn't, and you just go on and do something else. But I think what people start to, this is probably an exaggeration, but kind of deteriorate, their lives start to shrink, is when they stop learning. They stop being open to new experiences or new people, mm-hmm. Things like that. I'm not a social butterfly by any stretch of the imagination, because actually I'm an introvert, and that kind of tires me out when I spend a whole lot of time with a whole lot of people. Mm-hmm. But what I find is a lot of people are, there are some people who are very intriguing, and I'm interested in what their lives are like and how they do life and their business and things like that. So I will, you know, develop relationships with people. And not all of these are deep relationships. It might just be having a cup of coffee, having a conversation, you know, things like that. So I think you just really have to commit to continuing to grow as an individual, whatever, however you define that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, going back with the, you said to have, whether you call, some people call it tribes, they say they're groups, or you have a good group of friends that you are able to bounce stuff off.
Sure.
And it's important to have friends that don't necessarily have the same ideas or likeness as you. Mm-hmm. But majority of the times when you meet people, don't you look for those commonalities in people?
I mean, it's just not that scientific to me.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I mean, if you meet somebody, they have something in common, you might, unless it's something that you see, like they're doing something interesting. If I never knew you and you say, I'm a real estate developer, I own a company, simple, like that would be intriguing to me.
Sure.
That's not me. My background would be media and everything, but I would want to know more information.
Yeah.
But if somebody else may be like, okay, I don't see how that would, what would we have in common as opposed to getting, do you think it's important for to have different, like your group of good friends, are they doing something completely different, or is, what would you say is, if there is, what would you say is the common thread or commonality between?
I don't think it comes down to what they do and what they are. I have friends that I just love them because of who they are. We have different interests. We have different career paths. We have, so I don't know what the commonality is, if, other than we just probably click.
Right.
So I have friends of different races, ages, gender, and, you know, just kind of all over the board. But as far as my closest friends, probably have just done life with them. Excuse me, over a period of time.
Right.
And so, so I don't think there is a checklist of sorts. Like some people might meet me and they have no interest in real estate development. They have no interest in wellness or whatever I'm doing. Mm-hmm. It's totally fine, you know. But it might be, usually there's something that's attractive to you about the person. So it could be their sense of humor, or, you know, their style, or just, you know, some unique thing that you notice about them. It could be a number of things. So I don't think it's, I think it has to be more natural actually than that. I don't think it's something you can kind of think through. I think you just kind of have to live and pay attention to when you're talking with some. And so I think it's actually a much more natural thing.
Okay. All right. Let's talk a little bit about going back to Simply Well. Let's talk a little bit about how did you come about that, like your background. Have you always been that person that was, I know, but I'm just asking, were you always that person in terms of conscious about whether that's fitness, whether that's eating a movement or that type of thing? Have you always, if you look back on your life, would you say this built up to that moment?
I don't think Simply Well came about like that, but I can look back at my life and see things that are thread that connected with it. Some of it healthy, some of it not. I had some eating disorders in my family that I witnessed growing up in the name of, I need to be a certain size. I need to look a certain way. So I saw that growing up, which kind of gave me a somewhat unhealthy view of just food in general.
Right.
I never developed an eating disorder, but I do remember kind of always like questioning, what am I eating? And should I be eating this? And so I just really almost, I enjoyed food, but there was a guilt that was constantly there. I don't have that anymore. But I did have that for a long time. I was very thin growing up, just kind of naturally thin. So I never really thought, I was a kind of a book person. So I never was like extremely athletic. I didn't start doing those things till I got, you know, a little bit older. And so, you know, it's everywhere. Everyone has, you know, we all have a body, we all have health, we all have to be concerned about how we think, how we view life, how, you know, just so I don't think Simply Well is anything earth shattering, mm-hmm. I think is actually very, well, simple, you know,
right.
No pun intended. But mm-hmm. These are things that affect all of us. And so we all have a body that needs to be taken care of. We all have a mind, and we all want a community of people around us that give to our lives as opposed to take right. from our lives. So and I just happen to appreciate beautiful architecture and mm-hmm. Nature and things like that. So I don't think there's anything like that's like, oh, you know, that's something I never thought of. You know, it's
right,
just kind of
right.
bringing it all together in a way that works for
okay.
me. So,
which brings me to another question, because it's my belief mm-hmm. That even when we grow up, there's that one thing that we have always been mm-hmm. that could speak to our lives, and many of us get away from that. However, there are some that stay on the course, but it speaks to us, and I think we do one of two things. Either we lose it as we continue to grow, and that could be from listening to people, or that could be from our own life experiences, or mm-hmm. we continue to walk into that. I think after, for me, it wasn't until I reached that 40 mark where it was like, okay, I'm aware that I don't want to do this, but I have no clue of what I want to do. However, I do know that I'm passionate about people. I want to make sure that, and particularly women, I want to make sure that we are able to see the possibilities in the, you know, having that person, like you're that person for me, where it's, you know, like you think an idea and it's like, okay, I think I can do it, but mm-hmm. it's, you know, and then you have someone that will encourage you or ask you, well, what could be the worst case scenario? I think that there's that thread of it's still there. A lot of times it lies dormant in our lives.
So you're talking about passion?
What? I don't know if we would call it passion or like that. What you were talking about, how you've like there's something that has always been there in terms of being well, or whether, you know, there were moments where not so much. But I don't know if I would necessarily call it passion. But mm-hmm. like you have always been that person in terms of health and wellness. Mm-hmm. You have always been conscious of that. Like, you know, as we get older, we have to be conscious, male and female, but we have to be conscious of what we eat. We have to be conscious of how food affects us. And a lot of times we kind of just get away from that, or we ignore it.
Well, I think for me, if I could say the thing that's been with me, if I could put it that way, mm-hmm. from since I was young, was that I had a desire that life could be better, mm-hmm. right? And so I grew up in a pretty rough situation. So that instilled in me that there's better. You know, mm-hmm. I didn't know how to get to better, but I just believed that it was better. There was more to what life than what I was experiencing.
Okay.
So that's kind of the lens that I tend to look through, mm-hmm. Not to be competitive, because I don't think that's, well, I have my issues about competitiveness mm-hmm. because I think some of it's quite unhealthy. But it's just like, I want to be fulfilled. That's it. You know, I want to have peace. I want to enjoy my life. And so, and I do now, but I think there was this desire that, life had to be better than what I had experienced and what I saw people around me, mm-hmm. how they lived. And it just seemed like, ew, you know, mm-hmm. There's got to be more. Mm-hmm. Not so much more as material things, but just more mm-hmm. that life had to mean something.
Right.
So I think that's probably the thing that it has stayed with me. So I don't have a high tolerance for mediocrity.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not I'm for myself.
Right.
But it's not like I'm this extreme type A overachiever, because I don't think that's not real. I'm just saying being comfortable in my own skin,
mm-hmm.
Being comfortable in who I am, not complacent,
right.
but comfortable. And so I'm not running from myself. And so That's what I feel like a wellness is actually about.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about comparing yourself. It's not about trying to live up to somebody else's expectations of you. But it's about being real with yourself, being honest.
Right.
You know, what do I want to do? And if that's really what I want to do, then what do I need to do to get to doing that?
Right.
If I don't do well with limbo, so I don't like to vacillate back and forth. It's like I need to make a decision. Mm-hmm. And then if I feel good about the decision, make the decision and go for it. So it doesn't mean everything's going to turn out perfectly.
Right.
But at least, you know, I'm not living in a gray fog. And so I think I see a lot of people who have camped out in this kind of, and I think in the name of feeling safe.
Mm-hmm. But wouldn't that be their, or they feel comfortable? I don't know if it really is comfortable, but.
It's not for me to say. I would say that a lot of people aren't, and I would only say this is that because of how they live and what they complain about.
Okay.
So if your life is full of complaints and you're really unhappy, not to say that we run around giddy because life has some hard things to it, but if that's your general disposition, you know, you become cynical, you hopeless, not necessarily depressed, but just kind of like blah, you know.
Right.
That's just not how I want to live.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think those people are happy, but it's not for me to say, you know. You need to change this. Now, the thing that bugs me is when they say they want to change, they want something different, but they don't want to change. So it's like, well, you got to have to change if you want a different perspective. And, you know, like we talked about learning and, you know, being around people that can encourage you to, you know, along the way. So.
But isn't it harder or. This is my own thing. But do you think it's harder to change the older you get?
No.
No?
Not really. I don't think so.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know why. Why would it be harder? Habits are hard to change.
Right. Okay.
But they're not impossible to change.
Okay. Because we get, you know, we've been, and that was a conversation that we had offline, of course, the other day was that change, he said that, what is it, change is painful or change is violent? Is that what he said?
Mm-hmm.
And the question is, well, what makes it violent is because you have to uproot the things that you have been taught. You have to relearn these things. Mm-hmm. And the older we get, it, you know, whereas a child, it's a little bit different. They do this. You tell them to do something different. And they may not think about it. We mull it over. We have to think about it. Is it the right thing?
I think change is uncomfortable.
Okay.
I don't think it's unbearable.
Okay.
And I think you can change incrementally.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's kind of like this. If you have not been running, you know, you haven't been jogging, and then you decide, I'm going to go and I'm going to jog 3 miles today. Well, you're going to be if you can do that, you know. But I've seen people do stuff like that. And like one person like passed out.
Their entire body is
right.
On lockdown.
And so it's kind of like that is not a sustainable change.
Okay.
I think it's more systematic, you know, like steps. And so those steps make it more manageable and actually more likely that you'll succeed. And so it is not abracadabra. It is not, I'm just going to sit and I'm going to visualize and tomorrow I'm going to go out and do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just don't think that's sustainable. I think it is growth, and you can't force a plant. Well, maybe now you can, who knows, with science, but you know, you can force a plant to grow overnight. So I think it just has to be much more natural than that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's doable if you want to do it, and you don't, and this is the thing, understanding you don't have to change if you don't want to. You don't.
Well, I would imagine you do if you're looking for some type of true happiness or in search of.
Well, yeah, but it's still your choice.
This is true.
You know, I mean, so some people, they're fine going around that circle till the grave. You know, I want to change, but I'm scared. I want to change, but I'm scared. I want to change, but oh, that hurts. Oh, but I don't want to give up that. They can do, people do that all their lives,
right.
You know, and that's their right. And that was the hardest thing for me to understand and accept. It is their right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't, you know, force someone to grow or change or what have you. They don't have to. So.
Okay. But then how would you say, because it, the woman that reaches that certain age and she decides, this is not working for me. Sure. I need something different. Mm-hmm. But not sure what that change would be or what is the difference that would be. So it might be, let's take me, for example, worked at a company, thought I was happy, traveled to Chicago. I call it my friend Crystal, we always call it the Chicago effect when you start to have that feeling. I came back and there was a change, like she knew something was wrong. Mm-hmm. But I had been working every day. I had been doing the normal stuff that I was doing, mm-hmm. but I was like, this, there's like some other meaning in terms sure. of life that I need to do. And you mentioned sustainable change,
yes.
which, you know, you want to, you know, you don't, I'm decide I'm going to run. I'm not going to run 3 miles. Mm-hmm. I run the 3 miles 9 times out of 10. I'm not going to do that 3 miles again because of the pain.
Sure.
So it's kind of like the baby steps. What about Bob, the movie? You mm-hmm. know, you do the baby steps.
Sure.
How would you say that a person, would you give advice to a person to make sustainable change? What would it be regardless of what they're making their decision? Does that make sense?
I think so. I think what you're asking me is what mm-hmm. is the impetus? Like what is a something that could
right,
like, lead
right.
to
where,
sustainable
you know,
change?
You may want to do this. He may want to do or she may. But what would you suggest that person? Because I think that's the struggle from what I see. You know, as we get older, we think, we pond a little bit more. We wonder, is this something that we should do? Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm single with no children.
Mm-hmm.
But I still struggle with that thought of, I want to do this, but I don't know if it's the smartest thing to do, or I don't know how's that going to affect me on the back end.
What? Well, I think there's several things.
Mm-hmm.
I think if someone is saying, I think it comes back to what I said, learning. So when you talk about going to Chicago, that was a learning experience for you because it was an experience, right?
Right.
So you couldn't shake that. It's not something you read in a book.
Right.
It's something that you actually experienced and it ignited something in you. Mm-hmm. So I think a safe way to explore change is to just open yourself up to different experiences. And so okay. it could be, I don't know, somebody who wants to write a book. Mm-hmm. Well, go to a book or whatever they do when they release books,
mm-hmm.
Or talk to some authors. And so just different things like to kind of feed that.
Okay.
And start exploring it. And that's kind of a safe way to explore something to mm-hmm. see if this is a road that I might want to take.
Okay.
I don't tend to think that, I don't think you have to think that over as hard, right?
Right?
So
right.
it's just kind of exposing yourself.
Okay. All right. So the purpose of this, one of the purposes, there's a few, but of this podcast is for us, the women of a certain age, to get out of the funk or to get out of the, you don't have to be in that rut. Of course, you want to think about the things that you do
mm-hmm.
and not be reckless. And reckless, of course, is subjective to whatever their experience is. But you want to think about the things that you do. But how would you say in terms of relationships, and we covered that a little bit, how would you say in terms of relationships, do you think that it's important to have a relationship in terms of whether, you know, that's, how would I say, relationship with, is it important to have that guy or that person?
Like a romantic relationship?
Right.
Oh. I don't know
because that seems to come across where
if you
when
don't
I
have a relationship,
right? When I traveled, mm-hmm. when I did my travels sure. living in Costa Rica, and mm-hmm. you know, I'll never forget this. I had met a guy, and he asked me, "Did I have any kids, or was I married?" And
sure.
I said no, and his answer was, "Oh, I'm so sorry."
Oh, I don't know. I think that's different for each individual. I mean, I'm married, and I love my husband, and we have a great relationship. It's about what do you want. You
okay.
know, do you want to be married? Do you want to have a relationship?
Mm-hmm.
Then great, go for it. If you don't. And so, and that's not something
but
you have
don't
to explain.
Think it's necessary. Or
necessary for what?
I'm just asking. That's what, you know, as especially as you get older.
I mean, for fulfillment, mm-hmm. that's going to depend on the individual.
Okay.
I actually had not planned to. I was married before. Right. I had not planned to marry again, actually. Mm-hmm. I just kind of happened to meet and fall in love with my husband. So that kind of threw that out the door. But I knew I felt like I would have a full and content life as a single person. Mm-hmm. I was having a full and content life when I met my husband. But there's no checklist. Mm-hmm. That's across the board for everybody. It's about what do you want? What do you desire?
Right.
And because you have to live with you.
Okay. Fair enough. Okay. Well, that was it for the first podcast of Women of a Certain Age. I thank many of you that did listen in, and hopefully you will continue to listen every week. There will be many topics covering different things, all things women. And I appreciate the time that you spent, and I hope that it was well spent. Make this day count and make your life great. Thank you.